Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith. Hey everybody, Chad Wesley Smith here, bringing you another episode of the Jug Life Podcast. Joined as always by the notorious MAX, Max Montana. How you doing, buddy?
Good, how you guys doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. And our guest today, fresh off an IPF World Championship, world record holder, Marissa Inda.
Don't I get a special name?
The Mighty Mamacita.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. So Marissa and I just got back from Belarus, a lovely vacation spot, where she competed in and won the 52-kilo class championship at IPF Worlds. In the most competitive of all the female weight classes, they had four girls with over a 500 Wilks. The most any other weight class, women's weight class, had was three, and then it was two, one, or zero in a couple of the classes. So we're pretty excited about that.
It was a pretty stressful day.
It definitely was a very stressful day. So for the listeners, viewers not familiar with you, you want to talk about your background and how you got into lifting? And
So I started out originally as a child as a gymnast. I was a gymnast for all the way through high school. And
this is after your competitive sheep riding career.
Yes, that is not a thing in Spain.
Sheep riding?
Sheep riding.
That's a thing. Like
champion sheep rider.
No, like have you ever gone to like when they have like cowboy festivals and stuff? They have like sheep riding and you can ride on the sheep.
Cowboy festivals. That's just like a Tuesday in Montana.
Well, then you should know. We could probably have a battle.
But, so they just ride sheep?
Yeah, the little kids. Obviously, it's not adult. But then like you sit
on little kids and women up to 56 kilos.
Yes, and then like if you fall off, obviously you lose.
Yeah, they were falsifying Marissa's
Chad is making shit up.
She's the best junior sheep rider in all of Spain.
Yes, I am.
Is there doping control in sheep riding? Or?
Well, no, I think it's just free-for-all.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, gymnastics. Sorry to derail you. Gymnastics.
Yes, and then when I realized, like, I'm not going to make the Olympics because I'm old, because gymnasts have, like, a shelf life, I needed something to do. I tried track, fucking hated it. And then from there, I just stumbled into a gym and started lifting weights. So then competed in bodybuilding for a little bit.
How old were you when you got the gym?
17. Okay. Yeah.
So that was 8 years ago?
Yeah, it was about 8 years ago.
Okay.
I actually made my way to a step class, and this was still in the 90s, so the girls were still wearing the leotard over the bike shorts.
Nice. Uh-huh.
And then I realized very quickly I'm in the wrong fucking place.
What color leg warmers did you have on?
I did not wear leg warmers then, but I wear them now. They're back in style. Don't knock
they
it.
Are.
They are. Thank you.
What about a headband?
I did not have a headband. Don't look good in headbands.
You think Max can corroborate that something is back in style?
That's true.
Grandpa shoes and Umbro shorts over here?
Yep.
Well, Max isn't wearing pants right now, so.
That's true.
Or is he? You'll never know.
You'll never know. Tune in next week to find out.
So with the gymnastics background, one of my favorite stories is you had lifted weights a little bit when you were very young, right?
Yes, yeah.
Like a garage gym.
Yeah, my brother had like, you know, the little bench set up with the little weights, like the weights that have cement in them and the gray covering, if you're familiar with those.
I know those.
Yeah, so he would always have his friends over and then he would make bets like, oh, I bet my sister can bench this. No, you can't. And then he would collect all the money and of course I would then bench the weight.
Did you get a cut of that?
You know, come to think of it, I don't think I got my fair share. So I'm going back.
You got interest. You could charge him on that.
Him interest. He does make enough to pay me. So.
Do you remember what you benched at like what age then?
95 was my best, and I was probably like 14 years old.
And you weighed what, like 17 pounds then?
No, probably like 75. When I graduated high school, I was under 100. I was like 90 pounds.
You benched 95 pounds, weighing 75 at 13.
Yep.
Okay, so you're okay. You're all right in benching, I guess.
That's on the level of the Ed Cohen first time deadlifting did 450.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in all fairness, though, in gymnastics, it's all upper body movement. Yeah. So, like, you know, that definitely really helped me be a good bencher, be good with, like, upper body movement. So,
So at about 17 years old, though, you start lifting seriously. Yeah. And what was that training like?
Well, I was the ultimate creeper. There was this girl in there, and she had a really, really good physique. And I just started following her around and started just doing what she was doing. And then from there, I...
People just do that digitally.
Well, now they do that digitally. Yeah. But back in the day, you just had it like, she's over there.
You had to do your stalking in person.
Yeah, stalking in person. And then I would like then do what she was doing. And luckily for my gymnastics background, I had always pretty good form, an idea of how like movement should feel and stuff. And then one of the guy trainers like, oh, you should compete in bodybuilding. And, you know, it's when you get the Flex magazine and you just start learning how to do shit.
Who is your favorite bodybuilder?
Kevin Lavroni.
What about my favorite female bodybuilders?
Sharon Bruneau, because I thought she was like the ultimate with like muscularity as well as aesthetics and remaining like feminine looking.
I saw Kevin Lavroni just posted some like big bench video maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, he's trying to make
a
comeback, so we'll see how that goes for him. He came back to the last Olympia, didn't do well because he had knee problems and his legs weren't very developed, but he's a pretty strong guy.
How old is he now?
Older than me, I don't know. Like 48 maybe?
So a lot older than you.
Yeah.
That's
and
impressive.
I love Sharon Bruneau too, because everyone thought I kind of looked like a mini Sharon Bruneau, so I'd always like try to play that up.
With your curly hair that you had back then.
Yeah.
We'll make sure that Shorty gets those pictures to include.
Yes.
So from 17 until about 35.
Yep.
Right. So for those unaware, I was joking about the 8 years thing that you're coming up on your 16th, 25th birthday.
Yes. I will be 41 in July, so a few weeks.
So about 35 years old is when you found powerlifting, right?
Yeah. So basically what had happened is I had competed in bodybuilding and then really just didn't like the direction it was going. It was a lot of the women were just looking way manly, doing a lot of drugs. I needed to finish college, but I was still training bodybuilding style. And then that's when they started introducing physique, like the other divisions. And I thought, okay, well, that's the route. It's a little bit, you know, kind of how I look. So did a physique competition, still hated like the diet aspect of it, and was looking for something else to do. And I saw a flyer for a powerlifting meet and just decided to do it. Had no idea like what to expect.
So what was that first meet like when you showed up? I mean, some of it I know.
But... Yeah. Like, well, I was still training like bodybuilding style. So I was still like, I think I took like a 2 week taper because I was super heavyweight. Uh-huh. And because I had no idea. I figured, okay, like with bodybuilding, you don't want to like, you know, come in like too full or whatever. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to like taper for 2 weeks. I still had my old like, you know, Cardillo belt, which didn't pass.
A USAPL meet, yeah?
Yeah, it was a USAPL meet. So when they were like measuring my belt, they're like, this doesn't pass. It was like all thick in the back and then like tapered to the front. So I actually had to take a razor blade in the back and cut the back of the belt. I had no idea you had to pause the bench or anything like that. So, you know, but I mean, I actually set a lot of state records.
So you just found a flyer and then went to the meet and did it. And you didn't.
No, I didn't like.
Didn't really think about it. Just kind of went and tried.
I think that's people's problem now. They like look on Instagram, like, oh my God, I need to be this good before I do this. And like, I was like, okay, throw on some Chuck Taylors and, you know, just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of the same for my first meet. I'd never been to a powerlifting meet. I'd seen videos, but of all multiply type of stuff. I just kind of showed up and watched what the other people did. And
look how fabulous we are.
Yeah. Had my Nike Freeze on. Everyone making fun of my shoes.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to learn. You just go in, zero expectation, have fun, decide if it's something that you're going to enjoy. And I really liked it and, you know, just...
And do you remember your numbers from that first meet?
In pounds, I believe I want to say I squatted like 205 maybe, benched 136, and deadlifted 320 something.
And that was in 2011?
Yeah.
Were you still lifting as a 52 then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I've always only been a 52.
So coming in 2011, you got 5 years. Coming up on 6 years of powerlifting experience now. Mm-hmm. Just finished your third world championship. And just so people can get perspective on the numbers with that, you went from 205 squat to now you squatted 330.
Yes.
From, what'd you say, bench at the first one?
136.
136 bench at the first one, just benched 209.
So you're benching your old squat, your first squat.
Mm-hmm.
Your bench only went from 95 to 136 in, like, 30 years?
Oh, no, because I didn't know you had to pause. I wasn't training, like, a paused position. So, I mean, prior to that, I was benching, like, 160-something, but touch and go. And then, like, the whole pause thing really throws some shit off.
Yeah.
At least I had enough intelligence to realize, like, in the warm-up room, they're like, you have to pause. I'm like, oh, fuck, I better, like, adjust some shit.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
And deadlift from 320, 325 yeah. up mm-hmm. to now 413. So make sure, yeah, even though the 13-year-old bench pressing number was pretty phenomenal, like, for people watching, you know, it wasn't just break all the world records the first day.
Yeah,
there's been a ton of progress.
Yeah.
Where'd that progress come from?
we'll get to the way that you train in a little bit. Yeah. So before we get to kind of this recap of World Championships, let's take a quick break for a Strength History Minute.
What you just witnessed is what I consider to be the most impressive display of reactive elastic power ever, particularly when you consider that the man performing it, Werner Günther, four-time world champion in the shot put, was about 6'7" tall and weighed 300 pounds. Günther's power and athleticism may only be matched by the glory of his mullet and mustache. From juggling shot puts to a 75-foot overhead backwards throw, a truly amazing feat for those familiar with the test, Günther was an all-around phenom. He also added a stint on the Swiss bobsled team, and for anyone who's seen Cool Runnings, you know that the Swiss are awesome at bobsled. His training is also very well documented in a video series here on YouTube, and though it's all in French, you can still glean a lot of great understanding about the ideas of special strength training from it.
Hopefully you enjoyed that Strength History Minute. So we talked about Marissa's, her training background, how she got into powerlifting, and going from that first day, you know, having to cut her belt with a razor and not knowing that benches were paused, to 5 years later, IPF world champion, most competitive class, most prestigious title. Let's take a look back at last week and just tell us about your experience in Belarus at World Championships.
Well, let's just go through, like, the whole airport fiascos. I used to hate LAX, but after going through Frankfurt and the Minsk airport, LAX is a friggin' oasis.
It is.
Yeah.
Like,
Frankfurt Airport had no restaurants. I mean, this may come as a surprise to some of you watching, but I need to eat. There's like six restaurants in this enormous.
And you can't get to them because you see them through the window and they're like, oh, you can't go down there. So it's like a big tease.
Or you have to go through like three security checkpoints to get there.
That's so bizarre.
And the signs were misleading us. They're like, one of the signs is like, have a 3+ hour layover, go to this terminal for restaurants and shopping. And we get there and it's like a McDonald's and a Starbucks.
No, there was no Starbucks. Was there a Starbucks?
Yeah, there was a Starbucks.
Oh, fuck, why didn't I go there?
Wow.
Yeah, it was. So that part of it, traveling is just always awful. Like, I think, like, I try not to let any of that stuff get in my head. I don't do the calculations like, oh, when I compete at this time, it's going to be 2 a.m. Where I live. I just kind of go with the flow, and we're really good about, like,
I did those calculations.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay.
I don't do those. But it's too much math.
Brains, brawn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Looks.
Yes.
Smarts.
So wild card.
Mm-hmm. Wild card. Was it like when you get to Minsk? And it's like sunny and beautiful, right?
Yeah, it was. The weather was nice. We actually got there. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. It was really late. We stayed at a very nice Marriott, though, so I really can't complain.
The Marriott was the oasis. Yes.
Was the venue in the hotel?
No, the venue was at the Sports Palace, so it was about 10 minutes away.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It was not very palatial.
No, it was not.
The name was misleading. It was not very palatial. But so getting to the day of the meet. Yeah, you know, we kind of struggled with being able to predict your weight. So we ended up arriving at the hotel at 2:30 in the morning on Tuesday morning, and you were going to compete Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
The 1 p.m. weigh-in. And yeah, you know, for anyone who's traveled on 20 hours worth of travel, you intend to retain quite a bit of water with that. And, you know, I've competed in Australia multiple times, but retaining water for me doesn't matter. I'm always retaining water.
Because you're a camel?
But I didn't have any good grasp on, like, okay, she's probably retaining this much water and it's going to take this long to go away.
Yeah.
So when we went to check Marissa's weight on Tuesday afternoon, we were 52.2.
Yeah.
Or something there. And I almost think it makes it tougher when we're talking about this, because you're kind of always 112 to 115 and a half.
Yeah.
Like every morning you're about that weight. I almost think it makes it tougher to almost always be right there than knowing, like, all right, I've got to cut 2 kilos.
Yeah.
Because
and there's also just that little bit of fear. Okay, well, if I have this meal, is that going to put me too far over, and then having to then stress about getting back under? So,
So it was just hard to predict. Yeah, you know, how long is this water retention from the travel going to take to come off? Is this hotel food too salty or whatever? But so she ended up weighing in 50.90 kilos, lighter than we'd like to weigh in, but. Yeah. Yeah, not too bad. So after weigh-ins, let's get to warm-ups. How are you feeling in the back room?
I'm feeling like shit. I was trying to drink as much water and everything, but it's like as I was eating and drinking, the food was just getting stuck, like right here. I think I even told you, like, I feel like I'm going to throw up. Like, I felt like the food was just going to come back up. And I always have a little bit of nerves, and it's hard for me to, like, eat, but it's never felt like I was going to throw up. So, I don't know. What did we do? You just told me just to walk around and just get through it. So squats felt good. I mean, but I still felt like everything was just sitting right here.
And to that point, two things to that point. One, I think that's something that people who compete in 24-hour weigh-ins discount, even if you don't cut weight. Say you walk around 114, 115 or whatever and compete as a 52 or 114. Being able to weigh in 24 hours before and eat what you want for dinner and eat what you want the morning of is such an advantage over, even if you're not trying to put on weight with that. But it's still such an advantage, just the comfort of it, the lack of mental stress from it. And then for people who are recomping to some degree, 24-hour weigh-in, 2-hour weigh-in, a big mistake that people make is they just sit there and drink water, drink Gatorade, whatever they're doing, and all that liquid and carbs are just sitting in their stomach. But if you get out, you know, just walk around, do 5-10 air squats, 5-10 push-ups, let the blood start to flow, you know, get those carbs and that fluid out into the muscles, into the extremities, rather than all just sitting right in your stomach. So if you are doing any kind of weight cut or just after the 2-hour weigh-in, don't be sedentary. You know, move around a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, the squat warm-ups felt good. I felt like they were moving well. I was, you know, feeling like the food was not sitting where it needed to sit, not up in my throat. But going into that first squat, it just came up so much rougher than I had anticipated. Especially considering my last warm-up felt great. So. And then also kind of threw me off that I got a red from the head judge, and I'm like, what the, you know?
Yeah, the head judge was given a lot of reds for depth in the squat, and that's something I definitely think is true, that the IPF judges tend to seem like they have a preference towards a more upright squatting style.
Yeah.
That you bend more at the waist. Blaine, who's had a ton of problems with depth, the way that Lane Norton squats, that head judge. The head judge is not supposed to be judging depth.
Yeah.
I've yelled at them before for this, but I kept my yelling.
Well, you had to be, because they threw you off to the side of the platform. That's the other thing that also kind of sucked. So at the IPF meets, we have, like, the world coach, which you went over in, like, your last podcast. So they still allowed Chad to be there. He had to just be wearing USAPL shirt, and that they were going to let him go.
Burned my skin.
Yeah. It did burn his skin. So I was actually worried they weren't going to have his size, but they did.
I would have just worn a smaller size. I would have borrowed one from Jazz Hands. And
it would have been great. It would have been really tight.
Buried a little midriff, maybe.
Yeah, so, you know, so of course they allowed him to be there, and they were going to let him come up, because you're only allowed one coach when you go, you know, to the chalk bowl and in the back. But right before all of that happened, they come back and they're like, oh, you don't have sports shoes on because Chad's wearing his boat shoes.
Yeah, so the technical director, coordinator, whatever, comes in the back right as we're starting to, you know, maybe Marissa had taken the bar for the squat warm-up. And they start telling me, like, people are complaining about me being in the back, like coaches from other countries, and saying that they were going to remove me from the back because I was not wearing sports shoes. And I was, of course, wearing boat shoes, Sperry's. And my response to them was, I said that these are sports shoes. This is for the sport of sailing. That's in the Olympics. Unlike some other sports who wish they were in the Olympics, I was wearing the shoes of an Olympian. I don't know that they appreciated that response.
These aren't korfball shoes.
I don't know if they appreciated that response, but either way, they ended up letting me stay, thankfully.
Yeah, but they let you stay, but kicked off to the side.
So you couldn't actually go out onto into the little
coaches. And it's nice to have, like, your pump up, man. Like, hey, yeah. You got this. And, you know, Polly was cool because he was just, you know, kind of whatever. But it also sucks when, you know, he was just taking my iPod from me. And we're
not
quite, you know.
It's not the same dynamic duo that you have here.
It's true.
No.
I mean, I was 10 feet further away, but they didn't want me in the background of the
live stream.
Because they're like, well, they might see that he's not wearing sports shoes in this.
Oh, my God. That's so ridiculous.
I mean, they're just trying to throw me off my game, you know.
I do definitely think that it was. And the coach who was out there complaining about this, I know who you are, just so you know. He's probably not watching, but...
That can be Google translated, too, if it's necessary, for whatever language he speaks.
Yeah, so you take the first squat, 303, 137 kilos.
It came up a little rough.
Yeah.
So then you told Polly what to put in for my next attempt, because that's the other thing at world meets. Only the world head coach can go up and put in your attempts. But thankfully, like, we had talked to Susie and Matt and Polly ahead of time, and they're just like, you know, Chad can just tell Polly. Polly can go up to the table and put in the attempt. So I actually had no idea what was being done.
Yeah, so we made a smaller jump there because... You know, coming into the meet, we know three big competitors for Marissa. Olga Golubeva had totaled 425 before. Marissa's best, the world record, is 430. Olga had done 425 at European Championships. Susie had done 424 at the Arnold Grand Prix. And then Liz had done 424 at the Grand Prix. And Joy Nanami from England had done maybe 405 or something like that. But... we'd seen training lifts that it was like, okay, she's competitive, and whenever you got a big deadlift, things can happen. And Liz is huge squat, world record, you know, breaks the world record there at the meet. So we knew we were going to be down coming out of the squat, and we needed to get everything we could out of that. And we needed to, ideally to make three attempts, I thought was going to be what we really needed. So when the first came up a little slower, I decided, all right, let's make the conservative move, 5 kilo jump up to 142.5, rather than our normal plan would have been to go to 145. And then...
Which always happens to me.
It's going off the rails.
I just decided to not go to depth. So
how bad was it?
I didn't need to look at the lights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez, wow. Jerk.
Well, I didn't.
Supposed to be like, it's great.
What happened? What was going through your head?
You know what? I have no idea, to be honest. I kind of go into, like, stupid mode, and I just got under the bar, and, like, I think I was so worried about that head judge giving me, like, a red, I just decided to let her give me another one.
Yeah. I'm really worried about depth.
So the last one was questionable.
Well, she didn't give me the light for depth.
What was it for, then?
Did you ask? Forward lean.
That's not against the rules.
That's what I thought. The guy.
How was that against the rules?
I don't know. When I walked out, Polly was like, they don't like the forward. Forward. So then they can't see depth because you're too forward.
Yeah, but they're not calling you for forward lean. They're calling you for depth.
Okay, well, anyways. Yeah. I don't know. I think I was just so worried about that. I don't know. I just decided to just have her give me another one.
This will trick her. I'll spot even higher. And then she'll
get three reds or two?
Three.
Three.
Yeah. This is that bad.
Yeah, so at that point, I get a little like, oh, shit, we're doing this again. Mm-hmm. but I tried to contain that
feeling. Every coach has been in that place. Oh, what are we doing today?
So we retake the 142.
Yes.
And a little pep talk in the back.
Yes, he pep talked.
A lot lower.
Yeah.
This is Chad's pep talk. You cannot afford to miss this.
That's a good pep talk.
You cannot afford to miss this. No doubt depth.
You know the best coaching cue you'll ever get is three red lights. Because right away you fucked up.
The first red says do, the second red says it, and the third red, better. Do it better. Maybe we could make a light box like that.
Yeah, do it better.
Yeah. That's a good Chad's one. Not the kind that's like, you got this, you can do it. No, he's like, you need this to win.
All those
posts
on Instagram.
You need to make this next one or it's all over for you.
All those motivational lion picture you posted, believe in them now. This is when we need it.
I said something motivational, probably.
No, you didn't.
I probably said you can squat this weight to any depth, so squat it fucking deep.
No, your first ones were like, you need to make this next
yes,
one.
Yes, but then after that was the motivation part.
Yeah, after I made it.
No.
Okay.
Before you made it.
If you say so.
Yeah. But anyway, so she made it on the third, and then we're watching everyone else make their third. Everyone else went 3 for 3 in the squat. Joy, 3 for 3, PR. Olga, 3 for 3, PR.
Yeah.
Liz, 3 for 3, PR, new world record. And then right after that, Susie came up and broke the world record by a half a kilo. So coming out of the squats, 13 kilos behind Liz Craven, who is currently in first place. Mm-hmm. So you were in fifth, I think, at that point. 13 kilos out of first. I guess 13 and a half kilos out of first.
But we knew going into it that I was going to, even if I had my best squat day, like the plan to hit the 150 again, the 330 pounds, like I was going to be behind.
Yeah.
Just not by that much.
Yeah, I was thinking six kilos behind. Okay. Very manageable.
Pretty close. Yeah. Pretty close.
It's all relative. Close is all relative, I guess.
That's pretty close.
And so that was, I was trying to contain my nervousness. I don't know if I did, but. Just shared about how we got to make all the benches.
Well, yeah, your nervousness is. I always know because you're like you have to make all three of your benches. You have okay, I got it.
But you did that. You benched. Yes. Excellent benching. So 85 opener, super fast. I mean, you could do that 5-6 reps. Yeah. 90 on the second, faster than the first maybe, and then on the third, 95 kilos for the PR 209. Okay. You had a little. Some little hiccups with that.
Yeah, I was, I unracked it and I hit the rack and I was like, oh, fuck. And then my foot kind of slipped out, so I had to like readjust my feet. And then, you know, holding that much weight, it's like, I just needed to get it. Ideally, it's like you just take it off and get the start command, but then I hit the thing and finally got settled. And I think, thankfully, it went up very fast.
Oh, yeah, it was very, very fast. Yeah. And Marissa does a self handoff in the meets because USAPL.
I've been doing a self handoff for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even I do self-handle.
I mean, that just takes like a variable out of it because before we even started bench, the coaches came over and they're like, guy doesn't speak English, so you're going to have to basically mime how you want your bar taken. I'm
He's
like,
he's deaf. He'll need to sign language.
He's deaf and doesn't speak American Sign Language. And IPF, you can't choose your own handoff person.
Nope.
They just have one there. So it's potentially. Very bad handoffs could be given. And then when you're dealing with other countries and the politics of IPF powerlifting, I'm not trying to have some Russian or Belarusian guy give a handoff when we're lifting against someone from that country. But smoked the 95, and we got a little bit of help from Olga, who missed her third, and Liz, who benched a little bit conservatively but made all of hers. We kind of benched what we expected. So now at this point, coming out of the bench, Olga, who benched 100 kilos, has moved into first. You're 10 kilos behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think and now just 3 kilos behind Liz.
Yeah.
So,
according to the live stream, they're like, the best Marissa can hope for is third.
Yeah, I wasn't watching the live stream, but apparently, I guess they were a little hateful.
Yeah, I guess they were thinking I was.
Who was
just
doing the live stream?
Some Australian lady, so she probably was all about.
Well, I think looking at the numbers, they probably just, I don't know. I think a lot of people are so big on individual lifts, like, this person's a great world record squatter. Well, a squat doesn't win a meet. You have to be good at all three, so.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing, is that everybody's focused so much on the single lifts, and especially when someone starts out strong in the squat, they're like, oh, well, this guy's going to be super strong.
Yeah.
But it's like the people that are killing it in each one lift are generally not the people winning the whole thing.
Exactly.
You see it all the time. Big squat, and then everything else is small, or, huge bench press, but they're not squatting or, pulling anything.
So we get into the deadlift. We preferred for, a conservative deadlift opener. So actually, after opening deadlifts, I think Liz maybe opened 10 kilos heavier than
that. Mm-hmm.
So now we're 13 kilos behind Liz again. And then but only like five or something behind Olga. And so we put in our plan, 182 and a half on the second, moved very smooth. And in this second round of deadlifts, so we take a bigger jump. I think you were after your second to last probably now. So we see Olga miss.
Yep.
We see Liz miss. And now it's like
the door is wide open.
The door has been opened. So you're pulling to move into first on the second.
Yeah.
With 402, something you've done in the gym, something you've done that or more now in two meets, three meets.
Yep.
So what's going through your head as you go up there? Because you knew if you pulled that one, you moved into first.
Yeah, just fucking make it. Don't let go of the bar because even on my first pull, it went up very fast, but it just felt like the bar, and I told you this when I came out, the bar feels slick. It almost felt oily on that right side, and I just wanted to hold on to it. So if you look at the video, I do end up getting one red light on the right side, and that's the side that was, I felt like my grip was starting to... The bar was slipping out of my hand.
And a lot of people were having...
Yeah.
You know, Olga dropped her second deadlift. Liz didn't drop it, but you know, may have been struggling with grip as well. We saw Brett Gibbs, Jezza. A lot of people had grip issues.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, if it's weird chalk, if it's the travel and humidity...
The chalk was very, very fine grade. After talking to Hanny, he said that it was the gymnastics chalk, which is meant to be more slippery so that they can do the tricks on the bar.
But you didn't lose your grip.
I did.
Oh, you did on your third.
I lost it a little bit on my second, too.
Really?
The bar on my second was right here.
Yeah,
on
really. This hand. At the lockout.
At the lockout. It was coming out. So that's it kind of worried me on my third attempt, knowing that I hope I can hold on to that right side. And yeah. I don't typically have grip issues because I also train at a commercial gym that on a bar that has no knurling.
Right.
Yeah. Huh,
that's odd.
So second deadlifts, Marissa makes 182 and a half, 402, moves her into first. Joining Ami, world record holder in the deadlift, goes after Marissa. Long battle with 191, misses it. So of the top four competitors, Marissa's the only one who made the second deadlift. So we're looking at the numbers here, and it's like not thinking that any of these girls, the way that they missed the second, could really move up and make the next one. But we put in a high number to kind of wait and see what happened. And then dropped it down to 185, which I thought, you know, the 182 moved fast. Like, it moved just like it should have. Because our regular plan would have probably been to go to 190, maybe 192. And, you know, the grip just wasn't there on that one, which meant that we had about one more minute of excruciating suspense.
Yeah, like when Joy went out, so after I missed my third, and it came off the floor fast.
Yeah.
It came out of my hand, and like I couldn't recover it. So Chad's like, well, Joy's going to go. If she pulls it, she wins it. And I just went to the side, and I was like plugging my ears because I just didn't want to hear like the cheers. Because then, you know, if they're cheering, she freaking made it.
Right.
But it's kind of shitty. Like, you're friends with all these people, and mainly you're just hoping they drop all their fucking deadlifts.
A true competitor. Spoken like a true competitor. I'm so glad to hear that.
But, yeah, so then she did miss it. And you won.
Yes.
So what's that feeling like? First world championship, first podium finish in the total. You were fifth last year. Missed the deadlift that would have made third.
Third, yeah.
So from fifth in 2016 to first in 2017, you're standing on top of the podium. Yeah. How do you feel up there?
I felt amazing. Like, honestly, like, I kind of almost got a little choked up even at one point just because, you know, they're playing the national anthem. Let's just face reality. It's as close as you'll ever come to, like, Olympic style, you know, of anything.
Guaranteed.
Yes, guaranteed. And so, you know, and to also come from behind when, like, people are kind of counting you out, like, you're not going to do this, or you're not going to do that. And also, too, just all the struggles that, you know, we've had to go through within the IPF and, you know, getting pushed out of worlds, you know, 2 years prior to that. So, you know, it just felt really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It did suck to not hit the numbers that I wanted to hit, but a win is a win, so.
Yeah, we got, you know, it was priority number one, win.
Yeah.
Priority number two, PRs, which, you know, which would, for her, mean a new world record total, and maybe, and goal number three could have been highest Wilkes of all time.
Yeah.
So if you're only going to get one of those, you got to get the one that matters.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a day, you know, it wasn't a day that was your best numbers or your best lifting, but it was definitely your best competing.
Yeah.
And that's what counts because it's a competition.
Yeah.
It's not just about lifting the numbers, you know, some
Yeah, I think people get kind of forget that. It's like, it's a sport. I mean, it's there's a competition there that you have to win on that day and do your best. So, you know, I mean, because sure, how many people couldn't do the lifts they needed to beat you, right?
Yeah, so that always makes, like I said, it's when you're cheering for people to fail, basically.
I'm down with that.
So, as I said, fifth at 2016 Worlds. Mm-hmm. I think you totaled 395 there.
Right under that 500 Wilkes.
Yeah, it was a 499.9 Wilkes.
Wow.
But, so fifth at 2016 Worlds. The meet since then, where you told 395 there. The meet since then, you did 415 at Nationals.
Yep.
430 at the Arnold, and 420 here. So we've had, you know, very big improvement. All three lifts, big PRs. What do you think some of the keys to this last year of improvement have been?
Well, good coaching.
Oh, well. Oh. I mean, I didn't want to say it myself.
Surprise.
Now, do you think it's more your coach's brains or his good looks that are the main factor?
Well, that's probably the good looks there, yeah.
That's what really motivates him.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, definitely, like, good coaching. And then we've changed a few things because I have had confidence issues in the squat, so taking, like, more singles. You know, I think we work really well together, even though I got a little frustrated, like in this training block, which I don't think you've seen before.
I had to get a little spicy, which you haven't seen before.
He yelled at me.
This is the most mild of both of those things I've ever seen. I get a little frustrated. It was like, oh, shucks.
Yeah, but no, that and then I think not having injuries, you know, just.
Yeah.
Making sure, like, stay healthy, and that way you're able to constantly improve each lift.
So as you
staying 25 for multiple years in a row, helps.
Like Highlander.
Yeah, I'm like Highlander.
So as you look, maybe at you know, younger lifters or competitors, or what do you think that you do differently than a lot of other people?
I do hypertrophy blocks. I notice a lot of
they don't do them.
Well, I know a lot of people are always do like heavy singles all the time when they're like 10 months from a competition. And I just don't understand why you'd put your body under that kind of stress all the time.
So
I don't train for 4 hours a day either.
Yeah, I train like, you know, probably 45 minutes to an hour and a half at the longest
workouts. I see some of these people Instagram post like, oh, long day in the gym, 4 hours training. Like, who the fuck has that kind of time?
4 hours to do powerlifting training?
Some people do.
Because they do like three.
I know.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And also just incorporating accessories that a lot of people don't do, making sure, like, I want to have more muscle. Muscle moves weight.
Wow.
So let's say that part again.
Muscle moves weight. Yes.
This, you know, from the coaching perspective and looking at other people, this is the best piece of advice younger female lifters need to take to heart. And this is why people, girls come over from physique or come over from figure to a lesser degree bikini and are successful, you know, very quickly, is that muscle moves the weight.
Yeah.
But so many people want to get overly specific. They want to get into, you know, squat 4 times a week, bench 5 times a week, deadlift 3 times a week, very small variations, very high specificity all the time.
Do all 3 5 days a week. Yeah. Just don't know that.
Shoot me, please.
Same
and,
here.
And they never take the time that you had from age 17 to, I mean, really past 35. Because I've been coaching you for 3 years now. So from 17 to 37, 20
years.
A very
long hypertrophy block.
Yeah, a 20-year hypertrophy block. But line all the 52-kilo lifters up next to each other, and if you didn't know anything else about them, everyone should pick you to win because you have the most muscles. You have won the hypertrophy.
Yes.
So young lifters, female lifters, every level of lifter, take a step back. Sixes, eights, tens, an extended phase of that is going to be so beneficial to you. Make a muscle. Show them your muscle.
You can't see my muscles.
Can
you see it through my shirt?
That's a good muscle.
I should charge you for that. People pay for flexing shows. I'm just throwing that out there.
Should they email MarissaFlex@gmail.com?
Yes.
teen muscle.
Just send it. Just make PayPal. Make PayPal to MarissaFlex at gmail.com.
That's surprising. I would not think that. I guess I just assumed everybody was doing that because it makes a lot of sense to train that way. But no. I guess I was wrong.
Common sense ain't so.
I think that's why a lot of these younger lifters get injured too, and then before the meet they decide to do like a max rep. PR and then
I've seen that
they do the reverse hypertrophy
M-raps.
Like right before meet do some volume pull
get a little bigger now
6 days out deadlift AMRAP
oh my good lord I can't end well
yeah there's some unique decisions being made by folks but yeah I think we have a whole video about that that's probably linked up here or up there one of those corners where we kind of analyze, Marissa's program a little bit more in depth and talk about some of those keys. But that's, I think, really the biggest one. It's going to contribute to longevity. It's going to, contribute to both short and long term success.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can only be successful if you're able to still lift and not be injured. So, throwing heavy weight on your back all of the time, body's going to wear down a little bit.
Yeah,
we're going to take a real quick break to get to know me a little bit better, and we'll see when you come back.
I was actually adopted when I was born, so I sort of my whole life knew that I was adopted. I never remember a time of my parents telling me that I was, and probably if they would have never told me, I would have never known. I would have just thought that I was way bigger than everyone else in my family, but no real nothing beyond that would have made me think that maybe I was adopted. But I just kind of always knew. They told me when I was little. I know I had a book that was called Why Was I Adopted? So probably 3, maybe 4 years ago now, I did meet my biological mother and 2 full biological brothers. Where my parents were just, my birth parents were just young, so they decided to put me up for adoption. Then they ended up getting married, having 2 sons of their own, and then getting divorced.
Well, hopefully you enjoyed that get-to-know CWS minute there. Yeah, I referred to myself in the third person. What are you going to do about it? I've done it a couple times today, talking about Spicy Wesley.
Yeah, he's so spicy.
Spicy Wesley es muy caliente. So coming up.
I don't speak French.
Coming up. Now, we've got the world record. Mm-hmm. We've got the world championship. Mm-hmm. What is coming up next for you?
We have nationals in October.
Nationals. I just tell you right now, 52 kilo class. We're going buck wild on some of these attempts at nationals.
we're going to go YOLO? YOLO attempts?
Yes.
I know that's your favorite word.
I love it, yeah. yeah, I'm excited for nationals. Going to have the whole Chadley's Angels crew.
Yeah, we'll have to pose for a photo.
Uh-huh.
Chadley's Angels.
Yeah. I now coach Max's wife, Joanne, in powerlifting.
He's got 2 old ladies he coaches. Yeah. Chad is beside himself. He likes old ladies.
I can only imagine. All of the questions possible.
She's pretty inquisitive so far. For someone who I know knows all the answers that she's asking questions for. She just likes to double check.
They like to drown in your knowledge, as my daughter would say.
Yeah, so nationals will be exciting. You'll be going for your 3rd consecutive national title. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, we'll add some kilos to the American records there.
Yes, sir.
And then you also have a upcoming book.
Yes, a book for women is called Fuerza, which means strength.
That's spelled F-U-E-R-Z-A. Wow. If you couldn't catch it through the accent there,
and that's how it's said. Fuerza. You know, I got to be extra. Put a little roll on the R. So, Fuerza, Female's Guide to Strength and Physique. So,
very nice.
Yeah.
And what kind of things are you talking about in this book?
How to be strong and look good.
Okay.
I think there's this like misconception that if you're a strength athlete, you have to look a certain way.
I don't know what kind of people have been perpetuating that stereotype.
But and I think that's like the big fear with a lot of times when people get into a certain sport. Like, I still want to maintain a certain look and look a certain way, but you can still do both and be strong.
So this is going to cover some of your story, your background through these different sports, and cover how you train.
Yep.
So this your powerlifting training, your accessory work, some more physique focused work, cardio, nutrition.
A little bit of calisthenics, body weight stuff they do there, too.
Some of the tricks.
Everyone likes to do tricks.
Everyone does like to do tricks.
Well, party tricks get more Instagram likes.
That's for sure. Once
I basically just get the book so you can get more Instagram likes.
Right.
Yeah. Once I get my set of clear stares, I'm going to do the coolest of tricks ever.
Can't wait.
That's why we pay Shorty the big bucks for photoshopping those stairs
out. Just do green stairs. Green screen it.
Yes. That's all you need.
We'll do it on Mars when we go to Mars for the podcast.
Our green screen has not been properly utilized yet. We'll get to that. But yeah, so the book Fuerza, a female's
Fuerza.
Fuerza.
Thank you. Fuerza. You gotta Fuerza. Throw some flair on it, man.
You don't tell Spicy Wesley how to throw flair. Okay? Fuerza, a female's guide to strength and physique. Mm-hmm. Hoping late July, early August, you should be able to find that at jtsstrength.com. And any other thoughts for the people?
Thoughts for the people. Stay away from Frankfurt Airport. Yeah. Take your own freaking water. They don't give, we were so dehydrated there.
I was so angry. Because we had a very early flight out of Minsk. We woke up at 3:30.
This is on the way back.
Yeah. Well, this is on the way. Yeah. So wake up at 3:30, leave the hotel at 4, have like a 40-minute ride to the airport. Very thorough, checking of the passports and stuff. It's mm-hmm. like, we're leaving. Just let us leave. We don't want to be here anyways.
The best is the airport there, when they have, when they have the picture of, what you cannot bring through the security line. Yeah, it's usually, a picture of just, your water bottle. They actually had a glass case that had the gun.
Oh, my God.
The switchblade, the brass knuckles. What? Did they take these from people and then just decide to put them on display?
That is awesome. Yeah. An actual display.
It was an actual display.
Well, I guess if you can't read or read pictures, you need an actual object.
Yeah, I guess so.
I was heated by the time we actually...
Chad was so angry.
I was.
I can only imagine.
Yeah. The airport was enraging. I'm pretty mild mannered in general, but that airport,
the Frankfurt Airport,
there were times when I could see the restaurants through the window, but we couldn't figure out how to get there. It was like one level down.
That is
from
a
where
super
we
heavyweight's hell. Like he was in purgatory at that moment.
Yeah, I was ready.
Leave it to the Germans. Yeah, that.
I was ready to throw my suitcase through the window just so I would have a path to it, and. I know that there's some fucking German engineer out there, architect, wearing, a black turtleneck, looking like that, looking like Mike Myers. Who's that Mike Myers character from SNL?
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, with the monkey.
I can't remember his name. Neither can I. I know who you're talking about.
Someone who looks exactly like that guy, whatever his name is, who's sitting there thinking he's so fucking smart designing this airport. I don't think whoever designed that airport has never been to an airport.
Yeah. It really did make LAX look like an oasis.
Yes.
That's saying something, because LAX sucks.
LAX is really bad.
Yeah.
The Frankfurt Airport was very, very frustrating.
Wow.
But besides avoiding the Frankfurt Airport, anything else?
No, but we will have our seminars coming up.
We do have seminars coming up. All across the board, seminars coming up. Next up is Max.
Next weekend in North Carolina.
Wow. All right. So when this is going to come out, we'll probably put this out on Wednesday instead of Tuesday.
Oh.
I think it's going to come out on my birthday. Wow. The big 3-1.
Are you sure you're 3-1 and not 4-1? There's a little...
Yeah, if you're paying attention here, someone's 41 and someone's 31.
Oh.
But you know way too much about my... The 90s? I'm questioning if you're really 31.
Yeah.
But,
there's some theories out there of when I was adopted that my adopted parents just, reset the clock. He's 10 years old, but we'll just pretend that he's a newborn baby, as I was nearly the size of a 10-year-old. But, so Max will be at CrossFit in Mecklenburg on Saturday, July 8th.
Yep.
So if last-minute tickets for that, shoot him an email, max@jtsstrength.com. After that, Max and I will be in Buffalo, New York for a Super Total clinic. Remind me to tell you a funny story about an email I got regarding that the other day. Super Total Clinic at Mustache Fitness. You don't have to have a mustache to go to it.
But you'll leave preferred. With one.
Yeah.
That's the guarantee, the mustache guarantee.
Yeah, please at least come prepared to shave yourself into a mustache. That's August 26th and 27th. So that's going to cover powerlifting one day, weightlifting the other day. We'll talk about how to combine the two for the super total. Then after that, September 16th, Marissa and I will be at Warhorse Barbell in Philadelphia, or just outside Philadelphia. The Sunday, the practical technique day, is all sold out. But Saturday evening, I'll be giving a lecture on program design. So kind of all the theoretical and practical, the theoretical ideas of why I design programs a certain way, and then see how it gets put into practical application to design programs from beginner lifters all the way up to advanced IPF world champion, strongest tiny person in the world programs.
And if anything, you just learn new big words.
Yes.
No.
I have words I like. Voluminous.
Yeah. That's a good one.
What other words? I don't know.
That's been your newest one.
Yeah, well, I do enjoy saying voluminous. It just rolls off the tongue. And, so that'll be September 16th, Warhorse Barbell, just outside Philly. And then October 28th and 29th, we'll be in Minneapolis at the Movement Minneapolis. But again, the Sunday clinic is already sold out. That's for the technique stuff.
Wow.
But same kind of situation there, Saturday afternoon, programming. So if you're in the Midwest, I don't know the next time we'll be in that area. It definitely won't be in 2017. It won't be until probably well into 2018. Yeah. So if you're in that Midwest area and you want to learn about program design, August 28th or October 28th, the Movement Minneapolis.
And it's good to learn how to design your program. It doesn't do no good to learn technique if you don't know how to
program
your stuff.
I think that from our perspective as running the clinics, I think people put a lot of value on getting their technique coached in person, which, of course, is important and great. But the technique for powerlifting is not overly complex. And there's a lot of ways that you can learn that and get pretty good at it.
Yeah.
But I do think that the program design is really what has set myself apart as a lifter, is what has helped Marissa turn. I started coaching Marissa right after 2014 Worlds.
Yeah, and I was still training pretty much bodybuilding style.
Yeah.
So, and
the numbers that she did at those Worlds are now about her 8-rep maxes. And that's coming from a lot from program design. She weighs the same, maybe 5 pounds heavier.
I thought it was because I was just fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
Max out every day. Too.
Yeah, we max out every day.
I'm always maxed out.
Yeah. So I would highly, highly encourage you, if you are interested in learning how to design more effective programs, to come check those out. You can find all that at store.jtsstrength.com. Beyond that, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Always proud of the content we put out here. If you're interested in online coaching for powerlifting, weightlifting, or super total, we have multiple levels available through juggernautcoaching.com. You can email online coaching at JTSstrength, max at JTSstrength to learn more about that. And this podcast was brought to you by Paella and Pull-Ups. It's a lifestyle. If you like the podcast, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Write us a funny review. We love seeing those, and we'll see you next time.